10 Michata, Wrong Ideas. The term Michata is a compound of Micha and Atta. Micha means wrong, and Atta means idea, and so Michata means wrong idea. Of the 10 wrong ideas, the first 8 constitute the wrong eightfold path that is opposed to the right eightfold path. These are wrong belief, wrong intention, wrong speech, wrong action, wrong livelihood, wrong effort, wrong concentration, and wrong contemplation, as opposed to right belief, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right concentration, and right contemplation. This wrong eightfold path leads to one of the 4 lower worlds, the hell, animal world, Peta world, and the world of Asuras. If because of good karma, the follower of the wrong path is reborn as a human being, he will be short-lived, sickly, and subject to other sufferings of life. Then we have Micha Jnana, wrong knowledge, as opposed to Sama Jnana, right knowledge, and Micha Vimuti, wrong freedom, as opposed to Sama Vimuti, right freedom. Thus there are 10 wrong ideas. Micha Ditti, wrong belief. Micha Ditti, which means wrong belief, is the opposite of Sama Ditti, which means right belief. People usually resent being called heretics or upholders of a wrong belief, but this is an expression of one's view, and there is no cause for resentment. Every religion lays claim to exclusive possession of truth and regards the teaching of other religions as wrong beliefs. Some 14 or 15 years ago, a young teacher from Sudan came to Rangoon and practiced meditation at our center. He spent over a month, and so far as his insight knowledge was concerned, he could speak of samanyana, knowledge of exploring, grasping, etc., about 4 months after his return to his native place, he wrote to us that his father asked him whether he was still a heretic, and that he admitted to still being a heretic. So there is no reason why we should resent being labelled heretics by those who do not follow our religion, for it is only a matter of opinion, and in our eyes they too would be heretics. What matters is that our beliefs must be true in the context of the realities of nature. We, on our part, will have to describe the non-Buddhist teachings as heresies, but this should not be considered an overly harsh judgment. We have to consider only whether our view has any basis in fact. The wrong belief that we speak of here is of 2 kinds. The wrong belief included in the 10 evils, Duccarita, and the wrong belief that forms part of the eightfold wrong path. We have given talks on the 3 evil deeds, killing, stealing, and unlawful sexual intercourse, as well as the 4 kinds of evil speech, lying, slandering, the use of harsh language and frivolous talk. All these 7 evils should be avoided. Of 3 evils in thought, we have dealt with covetousness and ill will, abhijja and vyapada. We will now go on to wrong belief. An analytical knowledge of wrong belief is very important, and it concerns those who cannot meditate. as well as the meditating yogis. The wrong belief leading to evil conduct is the belief that there is no karma and no karmic effect. It will do you good if you remember this brief statement about it. Generally speaking, wrong belief has 10 parts. I have dwelt on them in the discourse of dependent origination, Paticca Samuppada, but I will repeat them because of their importance. The tenfold wrong belief, the first of the 10 views or parts of wrong belief, is the view that the act of giving away is not fruitful. In other words, it is the view that the act of giving is not beneficial, that it is only a waste of one's property. But careful reflection leaves no doubt about the benefits of giving. The recipient is pleased with what he gets. Your act of giving makes him happy, physically and mentally. The food that you give to a starving man may prolong his life. The donor, too, is happy by reflecting on the results of his act. Moreover, he endears himself to many people. The man who contributes liberally to the fund for a certain object in the neighborhood is highly esteemed. He is extolled by wise men. He wins admiration and fame. He is respected at every meeting he attends. He has attendants wherever he lives. He has influence and is successful in every undertaking. These are the benefits that accrue to him here and now. After his death, the donor is reborn as a prosperous man, or he attains heavenly abodes. Of course, these are post-mortem rewards that do not admit of empirical investigation. For those who insist on actual facts, it is hard to understand. But we should accept the teaching on karma, bearing in mind that it is beyond the comprehension of the ignorant, and that its verification lies within the intellectual sphere of the enlightened Buddha, the Arahats, and the psychic yogis. If you wish to realize its truth, you should develop supernormal powers that will help to fulfill your desire. With the divine eye, Dibhachakhu, or power of clairvoyance, you can see millions of donors enjoying heavenly bliss, as well as millions of evil-minded misers who are suffering in hell, or the world of petas. Even some yogis who do not have such supernormal powers see beings attaining heavenly abodes because of good karma, and beings landing in the lower worlds because of evil karma. This, of course, raises the question of whether what these yogis see is real or only imaginary. But it is reasonable to accept it as real in view of the independent accounts of similar experience by other yogis. So the denial of any benefit accruing from giving is part of wrong belief. Two, the second part of wrong belief is the view that there is no use in making an offering on a big scale, that it is only a waste of consumer goods and human energy to do so. Three, the next wrong view is that feeding, giving gifts, and other kinds of trivial offering are also useless. In other words, that feeding the guests, giving a feast or presents on the occasion of a wedding, on a New Year day, etc., do not produce any benefit. The second and third views are essentially the same as the first. They refer to the kind of good deeds that were in vogue in ancient India and mention the specific acts of giving that are repudiated by heretics. Four, the fourth wrong view is that a good or a bad act is devoid of any major or marginal effect. In other words, it says that the so-called good acts produce no good effect, but are only a waste of energy, and that the so-called bad acts do not have any bad effect, that the doer is free from guilt. As we have pointed out, the good fruit of a good act is abundantly evident in the present life, and its good fruits in the afterlife are said to be seen by the clairvoyant yogis. The same may be said of the evil deed. Those who do evil in deed or speech will be at the very least blamed by the wise. If they commit crimes, they will be punished. They will be economically ruined if they do any evil that harms their economic interest. As to their post-mortem passage to the lower worlds, this is obvious to those who have the supernormal power of seeing, and we should accept it on the authority of the Buddha and the Arahats, who have witnessed it supernormally. But the man who is very fond of sensual pleasures thinks only of indulging in such pleasures, and he does not like the good deeds that stand in his way. Nor does he wish to avoid bad deeds, for the man who believes in the karmic effect of a good or a bad deed will have to do good even at the sacrifice of his material welfare. He may think that he will not make any material progress so long as he has to avoid evil in his business. Therefore, he does not consider the karmic effect of his deeds. He is inclined to reject it, and he thinks of various arguments in support of his view. This is primarily due to his excessive love of sensuous pleasure. 5 and 6. Another wrong view is that there is no mother or father. Wise men teach us to regard our parents as our great benefactors, to revere them, to care for them, and to support them in return for what they have done for our welfare. The person who holds wrong beliefs does not accept this teaching. He rejects it, saying that people get their children by accident, in the course of their sexual enjoyment, that they care for their children because of their sense of responsibility, and that there is no reason why the latter should be grateful to them. Moreover, since he makes no distinction between good and evil, he does not believe that support of parents or any wrong done to them is productive of karmic effects. So when he says that there is no father or mother, he is denying that we deserve the special respects of our children by virtue of being their parents. It is a terrible belief. One result of this belief is certain, and it is that the person who holds it will not be respected by his children. 7. This is the belief that there is no such thing as this world, as distinct from the other world. In other words, there is no rebirth in the human world following death in the other world. One who holds this wrong belief rejects hell, the deva world, and the petta world, which are invisible. In this view, the only other world is the animal world, and it is impossible for an animal to die and pass onto the human world, for death annihilates every living being. 8. This belief denies the existence of other worlds. It denies the possibility of rebirth in hell, the deva world, or the petta world following death in the human world. It insists that annihilation is the fate of every dying person. 9. This belief says that there is no being who emerges in a new existence after death, in a previous existence. In this sense, this view is the same as views 7 and 8. The Pali text says, Nati opapatika sata. And here, opapatika means beings with upapati birth. That is spontaneous birth. In other words, it refers to beings who emerge with complete body organs. And in Buddhism, these beings are Deva, Brahma, Peta, Asura, denizens of hells and beings at the beginning of the world. The heretic denies their existence because he has never seen them himself. There is no basis for this skepticism, for good spirits as well as evil spirits are to be found occasionally in many places. There are tree gods who give instant trouble to those who destroy their abodes. The spirits that guard ancient treasures have been seen by some people, and the psychic feats of some wizards have been witnessed by others. Then there are meditating yogis who have really seen Deva, Brahma, Peta, and internal beings by means of their power of concentration. In view of these facts, the belief which denies the existence of the spiritual world is untenable. 10. This view is important. So we will give an almost literal translation of the Pali passage and explain it. There are ascetics and brahmanas, bhikkhus and holy men, who say that they have a special knowledge of and actually see this present world and the other invisible world. But in this world, there are no ascetics and brahmanas who lead their lives and conduct themselves rightly, end quote. To put it another way, the heretic's view is that among those who have founded religions and proclaimed their doctrines, there is no one who can teach on the basis of their independent, special, and empirical knowledge of the visible human world and the invisible heaven and hell. There is not one whose teachings accord with their practice. All their teachings are speculations and conjectures born of ignorance. The implication is that no religion is good or right. This charge against religion was made not only in ancient times, for today it is being made by those who are hostile to religion. Thus, the heretic denies the existence of the Buddha and the Arahats, who know the truth about the world as a result of their spiritual effort. But if one thinks rationally, one will have to conclude, on the basis of the heretic's own saying, that he, the heretic, too is just an ordinary man, and that his argument is also mere speculation without any special knowledge. So it will not do to accept as truth the words of an ignorant person. It is necessary to think deeply and independently. There are many religions in the world. Some of them concede in their holy books that their teachings are based on speculations and not on actual experience. Moreover, these religions do not promise any personal experience to those who practice their teachings. Instead, they only insist on blind faith and worship. Such religions will have no appeal for wise men. As for the Buddha Dharma, it claims that its teaching is based on personal, extraordinary knowledge. True to its claim, steadfast practice will ensure personal experience. The Buddha's teaching is confirmed by science in many respects, but in order to verify the teaching decisively, one will have to practice systematically and thoroughly. So the person who holds this last wrong view should practice it fully and see for himself. The man who proclaimed this tenfold doctrine in the lifetime of the Buddha was Ajita, a teacher of a religious sect. But he was already teaching before the rise of Buddhism. So initially his attack might not have applied to the Buddha and his disciples, who were real arahats. But as he continued to make a sweeping charge against all holy men in the time of the Buddha, it implies an attack on the Buddha and the real arahats. Denial of karma and its effect. The 10 wrong beliefs that we have mentioned all boil down to the view that rejects karma and its effect. For the denial of one, the benefit of giving, two, the benefit of giving lavishly, three, the benefit of feeding, and four, the good or evil effect of good or evil deed, means the rejection of karma and its effect. The denial of five, mother, and six, father, means the rejection of the effect of reverence for parents and of the wrong done to them, and hence it also is the rejection of the karmic law. The denial of seven, this world, eight, the other world, and nine, beings that emerge spontaneously, also is rejection of karma that leads to new existence, or in other words, the rejection of the law of karma. 10. The last view that denies the existence of the Buddha and the Arahat means rejection of the potential for Buddhahood and Arahatship, and as such, it too is the rejection of the law of karma. Thus, the tenfold false belief means the rejection of karma and its effect. The word karma is a Pali term which means action. Bodily action, verbal action, and mental action are self-evident. These are the deeds which we call karma, and are not the effects of these deeds equally obvious? Clearly, a good deed is beneficial, while a bad deed produces an evil effect. People who seek their welfare focus on good deeds every day. They are engaged in work for their prosperity and happiness. They send their children to school, hoping that education ensures good jobs and prosperity in later life. The child who leads a good life and learns his lessons will benefit by his good deeds in terms of good education, superior job, and material wealth. These are the results of good actions. On the other hand, evil deeds have evil consequences. Those who do evil are blamed. If they commit crimes, they are convicted. These results of good or evil deeds are to be experienced in the present life. Likewise, there are good and evil results of our actions that pass on to future existences. We need not have any doubt about these karmic results if we think rationally. For every human being wants to be prosperous and happy, but all men and women do not fulfill their desires. Most people are poor. Men are born equal, but some men die at an early age, while some live long. Some are sickly, while some are relatively free from disease. Some are good-looking, and some are ugly. Some have many enemies, but some are popular. Some meet with success and make fortunes, while some are unsuccessful and suffer financial losses. Some are intelligent and some are dull. Why do human beings differ from one another in so many respects? The difference between identical twin brothers or sisters is certainly not due to their parents. Farmers who work on the same plot of land may differ vastly in the output of crops, in spite of the equality in soil, water, and labor. There can be no cause for their inequality other than their deeds in their previous lives. Creation. Some teachers say that the world and all living beings were created by the Almighty God, who has infinite power. According to Buddhist texts, they describe the world and all beings as the creation of the Supreme Ruler, or the great Brahma. The differences among human beings are therefore to be attributed to the will of the Creator. But this view is not acceptable to intelligent people. It does not explain fully the differences among human beings. For why does the Creator create a good life for one person and a bad life for another? Why does he prolong the life of one man and shorten the life of another? Why is a child stillborn and another destroyed while still in its mother's womb? The hypothesis of a creator does not dispose of these questions satisfactorily. Again, why does the creator fail to make all human beings equally rich? Why does he make many people poor? Why has he created snakes, tigers, and other animals that are harmful to mankind and germs that cause diseases? These facts of human life raise doubts about the belief in a creator. The Sinhalese Sayadaw asks Unarada why the Creator has made the Europeans and Americans rich and the peoples of India, Sri Lanka, Burma and Indonesia poor. This disparity has nothing to do with creation, for it is most probably due to different degrees of intelligence, energy and effort, that is, actions in the present life. Thus, the theory of creation cannot explain the facts of human life. And as such, it is not acceptable to wise men. Then there is the view which describes everything as happening by chance. This view is wholly untenable, for everything that we see has its corresponding cause. A good deed benefits us, while a bad deed harms us. Obviously, anyone who commits a crime is bound to suffer because of his evil deed. Of the people who do the same kind of job, some prosper and get promotion while others do not achieve much success in life. This is presumably due not to their present deeds but to their past karma. Moreover, there are people in many parts of the world who can remember their previous lives. They can tell you what they have done and what kind of lives they had passed through. The average human being is oblivious of his past existence because of the suffering he has undergone while in his mother's womb. But the devas do not suffer at the time of their renewal of their existence. Like a man waking up, they appear suddenly with their bodies and so with clear recollections of their past. They can recount the good deeds that have led them to heaven. Karma, the only explanation, in short, in the absence of the present actions that condition it, the disparity in the fortunes of human beings is obviously due to past karma. The doctrine of karma is the key to all problems of human life. Some people die at an early age as a result of their acts of murder in their previous lives. Some are afflicted with diseases because of their ill treatment of others in their past existences. We have explained these karmic effects in our last discourse. No one will resent the law of karma, for it is of a piece with the facts of human existence. That is, the fact that every action, whether good or bad, has its consequences. Karma explains everything, and the view which rejects it is clearly wrong. A very terrible belief. This false belief is one of the 10 evils, dukkha-citta, and it is described in the belief leading to evil conduct. The evil conduct-oriented belief is of three kinds. Natikaditti, nihilist belief. Ahetukaditti, no cause belief. And akiriyaditti, non-action belief. Puranakasapa, one of the six prominent heretical teachers in the lifetime of the Buddha, declared that there was no moral action that produced good or evil. This view is called akiriya ditti, that is, the view which denies causal agent of karma. Another teacher, Ajita, said that there was no result of a good or evil deed, since death annihilated every human being. This view, which rejects the result of karma, is called Natika Ditti. Still another teacher, Makali Gosala, taught that there was no moral cause that made a man happy or unhappy, because every man's happiness or unhappiness was inexorably predetermined. This view, called Ahetuka Ditti, rejects karma both as a cause and as an effect. Although the other two views differ in their rejection of karma, they are essentially the same, for the denial of cause implies the denial of effect, and vice versa. So all of these views are false in that they reject karma and its effect. A strong attachment to any one of the views is fraught with grave consequences. The man who holds it is denied spiritual progress because he makes no effort for it. After death, he cannot attain heaven, but is bound to land in the lower worlds. According to the commentaries, he will not be liberated from hell as long as he clings to the belief. It is the worst of all evils, the most serious of all wrong beliefs. Even if the renunciation of the belief frees one from hell, one is likely to land in the Peta or animal world if his karma is not good enough to ensure his rebirth as a human being. So this false belief is frightful indeed. In the Salaka Sutta, the Buddha teaches the disciples to reject the belief. Other people may believe that there is no karma and its effect. We will hold the right belief that there is karma and its effect. Thus we should practice this Salaka Dhamma that will lessen defilements. The right belief that leads to good conduct is called Kamasakata Samaditi. According to this view, we have only our actions as our property. Good deeds benefit us, and bad deeds are harmful to our interest. This view is very important because it forms the basis of all good deeds. Only this right view makes us avoid evil, do good, and leads to prosperity in heaven or the human world through the practice of ordinary charity, morality, and mind development, bhavana. Or it may lead to the attainment of holy path, Arya Magga, and fruition, Pala, through the practice of meditation. So it is very important to hold this right view. But those who are born of good Buddhist parents inherit this important, invaluable right belief in their childhood. And so they need not make special effort to acquire it. They should only guard and strengthen it through right contemplation.